Well, welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into trades. 30 minutes of trades here for your Thursday trade day. And I got a couple of interesting ones, some interesting through lines. So let's just start with some just general AOD principles. Straight up here, real simple one. Michael Gallup for Darren Waller and 2 PPR. Two guys both at the bottom in their arcs of their career. Gallup's played only 23 games in the past couple of seasons. Waller right around that same number as well. But Gallup's been slow to recover from a torn ACL. He had averaged a yard per route run this year. Only 74 targets, 424 yards. That's pretty dismal. And 4 touchdowns in 2022. It's by far the worst of his career. Waller was limited, again, 9 games for him, 43 targets, 388, and 3 touchdowns. I think this one's a clear classic 2 PPR strategy, right? Waller basically signed a near top of the position contract extension before the 2022 season. But they actually have an out after this year that could cut him with limited dead money. After 2023, there's been some thought that he might be some subject to some trade rumors and yada yada. All of that's to say, a premium position versus non-premium position. non-premium player and Gallup for, frankly, a guy that I don't know if he's got the target ceiling at this point at 31, if he's got the target ceiling to be a tight end one. But he's got tight end one in a week in his range of outcomes. Gallup doesn't at this point really seem like that, you know. And so I would very easily say Waller. And it's simply for the fact of, you know, one of these guys you're going to feel comfortable putting in a flex. The other guy you're not, right? So this is pretty easily a Waller deal. And it's all roster construction. Right. Gallup's replaceable. Waller's not in a 2 PPR setting. All right. Next up, we have this one has a couple of thread lines. So this is some interesting stuff in terms of Kenneth Walker pops up twice in 2 different trades that I think are interesting from a strategic perspective. So the first one's Kenneth Walker, Treylon Burks, and Danny Gray for Tyler Allgeier, Brandon Ayuk, and Chris Godwin. So Walker's the clear plus best player in the deal. Top 6 running back in dynasty valuation. Right. You can sort of, I don't think you can rank anyone in that range in any given order, but you can come up with a lot of different orders in that top range. And I don't think they're necessarily an unreasonable take in there, right? It would sort of be the way that I would look at it. Right? You look and you have, you know, it's a lot of what you value, right? So if you got a situation where you're like, okay, I'm in on winning right now. McCaffrey might be higher, right? If I'm winning sort of longer term, Hall might be higher or whatever, right? But you get the idea. Like, there's a group of guys up there, over at Fantasy Calc, and I have made the conversion to Fantasy Calc that they are processing real trades, and I like it better than Keep Trade Cut. So for those who decided to share that and try to get my conversion, I have done so. When you look at this, it's Breece Hall, Taylor, McCaffrey, Eckler, Barkley, and Walker. I would probably, and then you look at it's Etienne at 7, Jacobs 8, 9, Chubb 10, Javonte Williams 11, Najee Harris. I think if you want to go young at the position, right, Walker's probably a top 3 guy. Etienne's in there as well, right? But he's almost a year and a half younger. He's a top, I think you could have those top, we'll say 7 or 8 guys probably ordered in a number of different ways. And I don't think it's necessarily an unreasonable take. On the flip side of this deal, and again, I like what Walker did in year one. I think he's probably more on the Nick Chubb type range of outcomes than he is on a Jacobs. In terms of, Jacobs has the receiving ceiling in his ranges. I'm not sure that Chubb I'm not sure that Walker does. So I think Walker's success is probably looks more like Chubb's. Maybe in the Hall of very good than necessarily an elite fantasy player. Right? But I think he's a very good player. And again, if you're going to store value in a place, storing it in the, you know, in a top six running back sort of top 10 running back, we'll say, at this point in the offseason is a place to go. All right, so that's, I think, the initial reason there. Walker, clearly the most valuable player, and clearly, I think, the best asset in this deal, right? So that's the initial part where we come from. On the flip side of this, right, on the other side of the deal, I think Godwin's the best asset. Algier, you know, lots of survivor rate questions there. Lots of threat rate stuff. They could address the position. You know, he was good, but little allegiance, right? Godwin has the highest ADP of anyone remaining. And then it goes Burks, Ayuk, large drop off to Danny Gray. So really what you're getting is Walker's the Walker side has the first, third, and sixth most valuable players according to ADP. The Godwin side has the second, fourth, and fifth, right? So already you're leaning hard in the direction of I'll take two of the top three guys, right? That's fair. I do think Godwin's an interesting test case. You know, when you look at him, there's uncertainty in Tampa for sure. Tom Brady's going to be gone. Like, there's some potential for an Evans trade. And I think, you know, some of that could break in the favor of Godwin. And frankly, some of it could break against Godwin. So we'll have to see. I don't think it's impossible to think Treylon Burks is actually ahead of Godwin at a point this offseason. You know, Ayuk is a good player. 21% of his routes he was targeted on. He's top 25 performer in per route run production, but he ran the 30th most routes. So that's certainly a concern, right? And again, even if he were to be traded to, I don't know, the Giants, he might run a lot more routes, but again, is that sort of looking something like, I don't know, like a mid wide receiver two to high end wide receiver two type range of outcomes for him, something like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, he hasn't, you know, made, he'll probably jump in value at that point, but I don't necessarily know if he's turned into a huge difference maker. Right. So that's kind of how I look at this. On the flip side, like Treylon Burks, again, he's safer from a value insulation perspective, little chance he gets over, you know, superseded, anyone picked ahead of him. And, you know, it kind of feels like Tannehill is going to come back, right? And, you know, there's stability there with both Walker and Burks. I think it's clearly that Walker's the best player in the deal. And at this point in the offseason, you sort of lean that way really hard. And especially when you're at sort of an insulated range of the position. Is there a chance, like, how does this deal lose would be the other way that I would kind of think about this, right? You've got Walker, you've got Burks, right? I think the way that the other side wins this deal is basically Algier survives the offseason and becomes a running back one on his team. He sort of enters the season and performs something along the lines of, you know, something in the low-end running back one type range of outcomes, right? That wouldn't be an unreasonable 17-game accomplishment, right? If he plays all 17 games, he sort of gets through the offseason, is playing, you know, 50% of snaps, but he could sort of aggregate his way almost in the lines of, like, David Montgomery, for example, like that type of range. That's not an unreasonable possibility. Again, a lot less pedigree, but that's not, like, that's kind of what success would look like. Ayuk, something like a wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver one, something like that if he were to get traded. And Godwin, similarly, right, if all things sort of broke well for them. That's kind of what it really takes. Plus, I think it takes Kenneth Walker kind of dropping off to lose this deal. Again, I think maybe two of those things happen, but that's kind of why you have Burks in there as well. Like, I think there's a lot more outs. I think the success is a lot more likely on the Walker and Burks side, even though I think you're taking three shots on the Algier side. I think they're lower probability bets than the Walker Burks side. Now let's flip the script a little bit on Walker and get the idea of kind of the other way around. Walker and Brandon Cooks for AJ Brown. Not putting a ton of value in Brandon Cooks in this deal. He's just not particularly high-end asset. I think maybe his reign of being, you know, pretty consistent wide receiver too probably coming to a little bit of a close. That's not to say he's not valuable. That's not to say we don't still like him. But I am dropping him at this point in the offseason down a peg. I think he's going to get moved. We'll have to see where that ends up being. So again, this comes back to what's the longer term bet you want to make. In this one, I went the other way, right? I think up at the top of the board, right, you go wide receiver over running back, all things being equal, because you like a couple of things. A, the stability, longer term, right? Wide receivers are a longer term bet up there. It's not a huge longer term bet, but it is a longer term bet. It's more stable. And you like the advantages that gives to you from a roster construction perspective, right? It gives you, you sort of lock in a elite wide receiver or a near elite wide receiver, a very good wide receiver at the cost of a very good running back. That's fair. And then you are able to, you know, thin out the backside of your roster. You're able to, you know, move on from guys like Chris Moore, from other guys like that who we've talked about in some shows and you know, thinking about sort of my exposure and that sort of stuff, right? Those things kind of thin out a bit when you're able to sort of roster AJ Brown types. And then what can you do? You can go back to the well, roster your Samaje Perines, roster those guys. And that is a much more optimized and much more efficient roster build. So this is a roster construction trade that I like. It opens up a roster spot. And right, it stabilizes the top of your running back, of your wide receiver core, which is typically what you want to do up in the top, you know, up in the very good, the bordering on elite, but very good ranges of the running back and wide receiver position. You want a lean wide receiver there over the running back because of the roster construction advantages that it gives you. All right, next one up here, we've got Matt Corral, Sam Darnold, and Devonta Smith for Dak Prescott and Michael Gallup. Again, another Michael Gallup deal. It's just interesting. I didn't even search for Michael Gallup, and that's just what it turned out to be. This is like the clearest of buy low opportunities for Dak Prescott. We have a depressed quarterback, and we need to go out and figure out a way to make deals for him. Right? I think that's one of the that's probably one of the goals of the offseason would be to go out and find a way to hunt some of these depressed quarterbacks. I think this is a good example of how to do it. Sell something resembling hope at quarterback to another GM and then give him a non-premium position, right? Like, I mean, I think that that's an ideal way to go about it. I would tinker with this a little bit. In the sense of I would shoot for something other than Gallup at the position, right? I would shoot for something other than him. But, I mean, this is a clear one. Again, this might seem like an outrageous outcome, but this is how we think, right? Like, we think, hey, these quarterbacks are really valuable wide receivers. You know, we could kind of – I'm not going to say give or take them, but we can sort of interchange them and not feel so obliged to be right on the quote value side of wide receivers as long as we can match the production side. And like, this is an easy one, right? Why do wide receivers, you know, what's the importance of wide receiver storing value if you're not going to use it for a quarterback like this, right? Like, this is a clear one. Again, you could pay up on the non-Devonta Smith side of this by a lot and still want to take the Dak Prescott side. So I think that, you know, this is a deal that doesn't look like it's super common, but I do think it's one where it is very, it's one that the specific pieces might not be common in your league, but the specific form of it, right, the structure of it is something that I think, you know, you could see in your league. So keep something like this in mind here going forward. All right, next one up, Tony Pollard and Rashad White for Drake London. So I do think I would take the London side of this one. However, the one thing I would say about this is, like, there's ways that the other side of this deal wins. Pollard signs a big free agent deal with, I don't know, Dallas, and they cut Zeke. And at the same time, Rashad White is the beneficiary of Fournette getting cut, right? Like, that's a best case scenario, I think, and that's the way you can beat London, right? That's the way that you can beat London. I think that London. So I would say this about this deal, right? I think London's the right side ultimately because, you know, you can backfill with an injury away type running back, and you know, if one of these running backs isn't really going to beat you, right, the wide receiver angle to this is really nice. That's sort of the one way that I would look at that. However, I would say at this point in the calendar, you got to be a little bit careful on doing a deal like this, right? If you can kind of really pitch a scenario where, hey, one of these guys can really rise in value, why am I doing it now? Now, it might be that it's only possible that you do this because people think that Rashad White's got outs, because Tony Pollard's got outs, right? That they're actually valued at the high range of the range of outcomes because of that. And, you know, the person's sort of willing to, quote, sell low on London. I understand that. I still, for the life of me, cannot get like a mid first for Tony Pollard. Just doesn't happen, right? I guess it could, right? That's theoretically something that could occur. I have not yet seen it like come to fruition. So what I would say is, like, if you're looking for it, again, I would sort of regress back to a bit of where these guys came from, right? Pollard's a second or third round rookie pick, White a second round rookie pick almost universally, even though high second, right? You know, and then you're selling that for, I don't know, it was 103 last year. It should still be 103. Like, that's, you know, if you were to redraft this year, you'd take him as wide receiver one for sure. You know, all that is to say, like, those sort of second round valuations up to 103 makes a lot of sense. Sort of when you look at it that way, I don't know if I necessarily feel so great about it. Like, okay, could you actually beat these guys? You know, like, could, like, how could this break in a way that, that actually London loses? I do think that's possible, but I think the right probability bet is on London long term. The question I would sort of have is, right, do you need to do this right now? The answer may be yes. The answer may be yes. Could I do this deal without giving two of these premium sort of injury away or, you know, premium basically backup running backs, right? Can I get away with doing one of them and structuring it a different way, or doing one of them where I think it's actually, hey, this player, like, and you take out one of them and you say, the other player that I'm going to give, I don't think has this great potential to beat me, even though maybe they're situated similarly or they're valued similarly, right? That would sort of be the other way that I would sort of look at trying to craft this. I think ultimately London's rare. I think ultimately London's rare. I think that Pollard and White are not that, but I think that there's a chance that they could be valued higher than this deal at some point in the offseason, right? So I think you have to be careful about this. I think ultimately London's the right way to go. And you might have to pay a lot more than this for these guys, like, if it doesn't break right in the offseason for them. So that would sort of be the way that I would sort of work through that. And I think that that's, you know, kind of the calculus there. All right. So we have some additional trades here. We'll just work through some more. I'm just sort of working down the list here on the chart. Let's just look at some. We'll just look at some that have picks in them, and sort of, we don't know where the picks exactly are, but we can sort of think about, hey, you know, what's this? You know, what's the pick that we might feel okay, you know, in the first round or something like that? What's the pick we might feel okay doing that with? So the first one is Mac Jones, Brandon Ayuk, and 3 seconds for Herbert. You smash the Herbert side of that, so the pick location doesn't matter. Herbert's going to be a depressed value quarterback. This is the way you put together a deal like that. All the picks, especially in the second round, you want all of them, take them all. Brandon Ayuk, perfect. Quarterback that we're not really even sure what his trajectory is, got it. Super Max on the other side, like, I'll pay a lot more than this for that. Excellent. Carr, Deontay Johnson, 2 seconds and a first for Burrow. I wonder if this is 101, how you feel about this. I mean, if it's 101, I still think you take Burrow. Although I could sort of, I could craft the argument about it. I think ultimately the Burrow side wins long term. I do think it's interesting. You're kind of buying at the low side of Derek Carr. You're kind of buying at the lower side of Deontay Johnson. If you're buying 101 here, like, I get it. You're probably getting the top 15 asset. So you sort of take a step back and you think about this. All right, like, you know, you think about kind of, let's put the values on the scale. It's quarterback 19 or so in Superflex, quarterback 27, excuse me, wide receiver 27 for Deontay Johnson. You know, that first round, right, that quarterback is probably, or the pick is probably, you know, something in the range of, you know, a top 15 asset, right? Probably, that's probably being conservative on that range, right? If you saw him, you know, in Superflex, like if you saw him as being, you know, around, you know, just over at Fantasy Calc, for example, Jonathan Taylor's running back 2 at 15, Hall is 14, and he's running back 1. You know, Burrow's 3 overall. So if you just sort of use the proxy for this, it's you know, 15 overall, you know, quarterback 19, wide receiver 27, and a couple of seconds for Burrow. Like, you do the deal. You do the deal. Kind of, you know, I think that's an easy one that you do. I don't think you worry too much about it. If it's anything less than that, I think it's a smash side for Burrow. Again, that's like, we'll just to say a proxy on it. It's like an early second and 2/6, basically, for Burrow. Like, yeah, you do that, right? You do that. That's the deal. That's the type of deal that you do, right? So that's one. There's another one in here that's Pacheco Burks, a first in a this year, a first next year, and Jordan Love for Burrow. You take that side as well, right? So all of those. There's some other ones in here as well. Like, we could just play a game of this. Pickett, Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, Tyler Boyd, and Travion Diggs for Lawrence. I don't even love Lawrence, and I'm taking that deal, right? That's the right roster construction bet. There's a lot of these ones. Like, I actually, it's kind of remarkable, the willingness of the quarterback market to be accepting of some of these trades. Javonte Williams, Marquise Brown, Albert O, and a first for Trevor Lawrence, DK Metcalf, and DJ Shark. I think that's a savvy way to, like, hey, let's get DK Metcalf in this deal as sort of insulation against the other side of that. But again, even if that's a 101, 102 type situation, you're still kind of really leaning hard towards Lawrence there. Even if you think, all right, like, I don't necessarily love Lawrence, like, it's still a top 6 to 7 startup pick at the premium position. You're not getting a premium position on the other side of that deal. I think you got to do it, right? I think you got to do that. So those would be things that I'd think about there. DeAndre Swift for Calvin Ridley and Aaron Jones. That's an interesting two-way go. I'm probably out on Calvin Ridley sort of at anything other than a flyer aspect of this deal. I think it's an interesting pivot. If you're trying to bail on Swift, I'd probably do it in a way that's a little bit better than that. In this particular league, for example, it's a two tight end league. I might try and find a way to pivot, you know, in the direction of a tight end or something like that to give me a little bit more wiggle than a guy like Ridley. But I understand what the person's doing with Aaron Jones. I think this is probably a sell too far, too low there for DeAndre Swift. Trey Lance, Shig Okongwu, and a third for Mark Andrews. This is two PPR for tight end. Again, this is it's open season on buying Andrews low, right? If this is going to be kind of our marker, one of the things with Andrews that we remember, right? First overall tight ends, super rare commodity. You bet on that. He's Mr. Efficiency. He's up there at the elites of the efficiency at tight end, and that's what you want, right? That's, you're hoping that blends with a high volume season. Bingo, right? This is a great buy low from that. Even though you're giving Trey Lance, like, this is an elite asset that you're getting on the other side. I dig it. So, yeah, I really dig that one. All right, some additional ones here. Gabe Davis for Sutton. I just find that's like shuffling deck chairs, right? Figure out a way to move up a tier, down a tier, something like that. But I think it's funny to where they've fallen. Christian Watson and Jordan Mason for Antonio Gibson, Romeo Doubs in a second. Give me Watson, right? I like guys that can really make a difference at the, at the receiver position from a like an elite efficiency perspective. Watson has that. I think he's got better star potential than Gibson does, certainly better than Dobbs does. You know, it does feel like you're paying a bit rich. Like, could the piece be better than Jordan Mason? I think that Watson's the clearly the best player in this deal would sort of be the way that I would think about it. And, you know, maybe I try to shoot for something better than Mason would kind of be the thought that I would say. But I think Watson's the right direction. Again, I think he could sort of craft it better, but that would sort of be, you know, I'd craft it better and sort of swap out Mason for something I liked a little bit better and take that side of it. Some additional stuff here. This one's fascinating about what you care about, right? Burrow, Garrett Wilson, and Greg Dulcich. Okay, this is two PPR for tight end as well. So this is a safe leagues format for Trevor Lawrence and CeeDee Lamb. So instantly, how do we think about this, right? Multiple hits at quarterback better than one. So Burrow over Lawrence by a big margin. Then you come back to the wide receiver position. Again, non-premium position. How close is it? Lamb's better, right? Lamb's the better bet as of right now. But it's not terribly different. I think, like, even if you were to sort of whiff on Garrett Wilson, like, almost completely, Lamb's probably not going to crush your dreams unless he's like a top 3 to 5 guy. And I'm not sure he's that dude. Like, he's probably going to be like the epitome of very good, but not necessarily like challenging for wide receiver one overall. But then you get Dulcich poured on top of it and you're like, absolutely. Like, yes, yes, 100% yes. Like, that's a great throw in on a deal. That's a great way to get it. Again, what are you taking? You're taking a downgrade at wide receiver to get better at quarterback and to get better at tight end in a premium format. That's an awesome deal. That's an awesome deal. That's how you borrow from the receiver position to get better. Some more here. Najee Harris in a second for Russell Wilson. I'm surprised that Russell Wilson's drawing that much. I'd probably wait. Like, if I was going to be like, all right, I got to give Najee Harris in a second for Wilson, like, you're probably going in the right direction positionally. That's almost certainly true. I'd probably shop Stafford and see, like, if I get something like that. You know, this feels like a sell low on Najee Harris. Again, I typically lean to the direction of the premium player. I think that you could probably do better than this would sort of be my thought, you know, going a different way. If someone's charging top of the market for Russell Wilson, you know, pay something more for someone more established, or more, not even more established, more safe than this would sort of be my angle on that one. Pierre Strong for a third. I don't like that because you're tying up flexibility. You're speculating future assets. I don't love to do that. If the time comes closer and you like it better, I think you could do it, but not at this point. Antonio Gibson for Jaylen Warren in a third. That's a really savvy deal, in my opinion. You're trading, you know, Jaylen Warren's basically a you know, interesting backup type, but you're giving a third for basically Antonio Gibson, who's a better backup type and has, you know, real running back one outcomes available to him if things work that way. So that would sort of be the thought there. Yeah, definitely take the Gibson side. You're not paying anything for him, basically, in this deal. Ridley for a second. I think I've talked about this type of deal before. You definitely take the second there, in my opinion. Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Shiga Kongwu, and two firsts for Kyle Pitts. How early do those firsts need to be? Well, you're not paying anything of substance or consequence at receiver, I don't think. Shiga Kongwu is, like, officially interesting in the way that Albert O was interesting. You know, one of the things that I found in this book actually was that second, third, and fourth round tight ends, all 15% of those guys, right about 15% of those for each round, hits for a top 6 seasonal finish. Right, it's very different than the top 12 seasonal finish, but the hits of consequence have been very level in that range. So it gives me a little bit of like, all right, like, and at a position like tight end, you're okay embracing some, like, a lot of variance, being like, all right, I'd rather either hit or miss. Like, it's okay to miss that top, you know, that 7th or 12th finish, right? If I'm sort of getting the same, you know, if I can get what I'm really trying to get the player that'll move the needle is the top 6. Well, if they all sort of have that equal odds, right, protecting floor is something that, you know, shouldn't really aim for at tight end sort of in that range. Like, Shiga Kongwu sort of in that lens is pretty appealing, right? Because I'm not necessarily worried about floor. I'm trying to take the upside swing. And he's got the same, for example, of like a second round guy thereabouts, like it would be very similar, right? So that would sort of be the way I'd think about it. The first, like, this is a consolidation trade for sure. If the first were later, I'm probably more interested than if they're super early in this deal. I think you'd maybe go about it buying Andrews or something like that for a little bit cheaper. And then last one here in a two tight end league, Dawson Knox for Darnell Mooney. Love the Dawson Knox side of this. Even if it's not December, kind of dig this value on him. That'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue to brace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.